Welcome back here with David Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. The election is coming up. Pension plan, Alberta pension plan, has been a discussion point.
It was a topic a while ago. It's come up again in regards to the Alberta pension plan. A lot of this, people are saying that it's, you know, we're taking a page out of the Quebec program with the Quebec pension plan. Is this a viable idea? Is this a hot topic, or is it just a sidebar conversation?
Right. Is it a political concept, or is it an economic concept? It's an interesting thought. We've got Laurie Williams, Associate Professor, Department of Economics, Justice and Policy Studies at Mount Royal University, joining us again. Welcome back to the show. We always appreciate having you on, Laurie.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's always nice to chat.
So let's talk about this notion of a pension. Is it a political hot potato, or is it an actual economic proposal?
Well, I have to say it doesn't make much economic sense. So the claim made by those who support it is that we've got a younger population in Alberta and we're paying more into it than we're getting out. That ignores completely the fact that it's a larger pool of money, that it's being invested. In other words, the risk is spread over a much larger population. It's a well-established fund. I think it was in 2021, 22, it made about $20 billion, 20% return, $20 billion larger, 20% return in that time period. And at the same time that AIMCO was actually losing money. So, you know, just in terms of general risk, I think it financially makes much more sense to stick with the Canada pension plan. Logistically, I think there are lots of problems that could happen. Remember, the Quebec pension plan was started at the very same time as the Canada pension plan. It's grown and developed and adapted over a long period of time. Other provinces have explored doing this. In fact, Ontario went some distance toward doing this and then backed down. They finally decided it just wasn't worth the cost to do this. So I just don't see how it makes economic sense. Politically, again, I don't understand what political sense it makes, because the vast majority of Albertans don't want this. They don't support it. There are a lot of Albertans, as you are probably hearing, who are very concerned about their pension going forward because they aren't confident in the Alberta's government to properly invest it. They're worried, for example, that the Alberta government might invest it in oil and gas at a time when oil and gas is returning less on investment than other kinds of investments are. So again, poll after poll after poll is showing that it isn't politically popular, and yet Travis Taves in recent discussions has raised it again, saying, well, we're not doing it now, but we might do it later. And that I think raises a bigger question about a number of things that the UCP government is toying with, saying, well, we're not going to tell you what we're going to do about that until after the election. They've handed it off to panels or pilots or something like that, rather than actually addressing it.
So Laurie, when we look at if the Alberta pension plan discussion is not a hot topic at this point in time, because it's kind of been put on the shelf for future consideration, what are the hot topics for voters today as we head towards this election?
The top two are healthcare by quite a margin in the most recent polls I'm seeing. Their internal polls are ones that haven't been published yet, but I was chatting with a pollster on Tuesday night, and healthcare is far and away out in front as the top issue. Number two is affordability, and those are issues that work better for one party or the other. And I think that partly explains why things are so close. If we're talking about economic matters, conservative governments, generally speaking, tend to just sort of on principle be trusted more than other governments. On things like healthcare and education, center-left governments tend to be trusted more on those issues. So there's both the question of which sort of policies, which vision Albertans think is more appealing, but there's also the question of who they have confidence in to actually achieve that vision, and that's still being fought, and mostly being fought in Calgary, the area surrounding Calgary, places like Banff, Lethbridge, Red Deer, the donut around Edmonton. Those are all votes that are up for grabs, and it's these issues that are looking like the ones that are going to determine people's votes.
Let's go to the healthcare topic. What are the key concerns for for the population? And what would you say is the UCP's position on this, and what's the NDP's position on this?
I don't know that we see really substantive differences in terms of what they're proposing. I think the problem for the UCP is that they're taking a healthcare system that's in crisis, and they've got to try to show tangible results before the election in order for people to really trust them, I think, before they're willing to vote on that particular issue. Given some of the things that have been said by Daniel Smith, given the people that have been appointed to the healthcare panel, I think there are a lot of questions swirling around the positions of some of the, well, Preston Manning, for example, and Daniel Smith, their positions on some healthcare issues. And we also have the record of the UCP government in mismanaging the healthcare system, which is a liability, even though it was a previous premier, it's a liability that the UCP government's going to have to overcome. By contrast, the healthcare system was managed relatively well by the Rachel Notley government. And again, there's that tendency to trust a center-left government more with things like healthcare. So part of the problem is that the UCP government under Jason Kenney kind of went into battle with healthcare workers, wanting them to work overtime, not wanting to increase their pay, questioning their motives in negotiations. They were unnecessarily combative in that whole thing. And it wasn't just Jason Kenney. It was Travis Taves. It was Tyler Shandro. There was a vote of no confidence in Tyler Shandro. He's in Daniel Smith's cabinet. So I think there are lots of questions that people have on the issue of healthcare. And if that's the top issue, that may make things more difficult for the UCP in places like Calgary, the donut around Edmonton, and those smaller urban centers. For the NDP, they're basically saying, we're going to stably invest. We've got a plan for making healthcare better. And again, I don't know that the plans being talked about by these two leaders are so different that people can point to things that would be better in one vision or the other. So it's going to come down to who they have confidence in, who they trust, who's got the stability and the competence to do this effectively. And that, I think, is going to be that whole competence of leaders is going to be sort of under the surface in this election, whether or not it's top of mind. Polling is showing that it's not top of mind, and yet we see those discrepancies in terms of confidence in Rachel Notley and Daniel Smith. Notley's more popular than her party. Smith is less popular than her party. So there are a lot of sort of subterranean things, I think, going on in voters' minds as they try to make up their mind as to how to vote.
Yeah, Lori, how would you assess politically the UCP budget that just came out?
Well, it's a very interesting budget. I mean, it's huge. It's kind of stunning how much money they're spending. And so I think that's why we see this Alberta fund sort of in the mix and promising to reinvest in some money in the Heritage Savings Trust Fund, writing legislation to force future governments to balance the budget. But if you look at that, there are lots of exceptions. I think it's meant to reassure people that are more fiscal hawks that this government takes fiscal responsibility seriously. But it's an enormous budget. I mean, they brought in enormous revenues, and they're spending all but a couple of billion of those revenues on this budget. And it looks like the strategy is, look, we're going to spend lots of money and solve all the problems that we've dealt with up until this point. They've actually listened to a lot of the criticism that has been brought against them, and they're investing in targeted areas where those criticisms are involved. For example, they're saying they're going to hire more judges, more prosecutors. Police aren't going to help at all with the crime problem if you can't actually get to court and process those cases through the courts, and they can't do that right now. So having more judges and prosecutors, good promise, good strategy. But again, it's going to come down to, look, that's a lot of money, and there's a lot of money available to whoever is going to be the next government. And that may still then come down to, well, what's going to happen after the election? Which government is going to make the best use of this money? Which government is going to respond to the issues and concerns that I personally have? So in a sense, they've undercut the ability of the NDP to say you're not spending as much money or enough money on this, that, or the other issue. Then it's going to come down to how effectively they're planning, how successful they are in actually accomplishing their objectives.
Lori, we have to leave it there. We always appreciate your insights and the input. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, as always. Take care.
Well, we have to live within the political system, whichever one it's going to be, with a plan. How are we going to do that?
Yeah, we're going to talk about all that and how you have a plan for your retirement. On the 21st of March, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel. You need to register for that. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
February is a tough month for the markets. Is it going to continue? Stick around after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.